in the Lord Jesus Christ. The title, as you can see, is Giving Up Hope. And when I first thought about this, I thought, you know, oftentimes when we think about it in that way or say it that way, it always carries kind of a negative connotation. I'm giving up hope, or I've lost all hope. But I want to redirect our thinking when we might hear that phrase, or we might think about hope, and put a positive spin to it, put it into positive light, in a way that we're going to give up our hope to the Lord. Give up our hope to God, who fills us with hope. In fact, in our key text this morning, we can see in Romans 15 and verse 13, it tells us, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Again, I was thinking about how when we come together, we have the opportunity to be renewed in our hope, or to have our hope restored. And if I was really, really together, and I've had a lot of time this last week, I would have done one of those man-on-the-street type interviews. In fact, I thought about getting one of those GoPros. You know what GoPros are? They're these really cool, and I know there's a couple different versions of the same kind of product, the GoPro, where you can kind of attach it to your helmet and attach it to your head or your hat or your handlebars or whatever, and you've seen all kinds of video, probably people attach them to hang gliders and they, you know, attach them somehow and they bungee jump and it's really, really cool, and this is an awesome video that you can get from that. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool to put it, like, stick this GoPro, like, on your head, and you look kind of weird, but, and then, like, walk around, like, go to Itaewon, which I've been known to do before, with a video camera. Years ago, I went there, and I just kind of picked people out of the crowd as they were kind of milling around and shopping and browsing, and I asked them, "What is Easter?" I just asked them this question, "What is Easter?" And it was amazing the responses I got from some people, and I was surprised that there were a lot of people that didn't have a clue what Easter was really all about. You know, I thought maybe some were going to give me, like, you know, bunnies and chocolate and stuff like that, but there were a lot of people that didn't even know. But I thought about doing that, and if I was really together, and if I had a lot of time, I would have done something similar, just gone up to people and say, "How would you describe, or how would you define hope?" And I could ask you this morning the same thing. How would you define hope? What is hope? What is it? And maybe we come up with different definitions, but I want for us this morning to focus our attention on the hope that is found and made available to each and every one of us as we come to God. Desmond Tutu says this, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." That's pretty cool. Let me repeat it for you. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Is Soul Union Church a people who have hope? Are we Christ followers who display faith, hope, and love? And we know that the Bible says, and the greatest of these is love. And we've spent many, many messages talking about the love that we want to share, the love of God, the love that has been given to us so freely and without limit. And being a people who continue to share God's love and to give God's love. But are we a people of hope? The word Christian means many things to many people. Some connotations, unfortunately, are not positive. Unfortunately, for many, when they hear the word Christian, their defenses go up, their walls go up, or maybe there's some negative experience that jumps right back into the forefront of their thinking. But like it or not, recent studies and surveys tell us that the majority of people, and this is so unfortunate, but I'm going to share it, it is what it is. The majority of people view Christians as what? Judgmental, condemning, hypocritical. In too many ways to count, unloving. My hope for Soul Union Church is that we break those stereotypes. Is that we would be known as a community of people who love and extend grace and extend mercy to people. People who have hope, and people who renew hope in others. We can all wring our hands and make excuses for the reality that these studies reveal. We could even try to defend it, or we can do something about it to change it. We can be a people of hope. We can be a people that share God's love. We can be a people who share God's grace. Do you ever think the power that a smile has? Do you ever think the power that looking someone in the eye has? I was talking to someone just this week, and we were talking again, I've given this illustration before, we were talking about airline travel. We were talking about how on airplanes, people change. Now, it depends on what side of that line you stand on. If you work for the airline, it's the customers who've changed. You hear things like they checked their brains at the door, like they checked their luggage. I'm not saying it's pretty, but that's a reality for airline personnel. But then you have the customers who say, well, that flight attendant or that person at the counter, that check-in counter, or that gate agent, they were so mean, they were so rude. Depends on what line, perhaps, that you stand in. But as I encourage people before, over and again, have you ever stopped when you walk on board that airplane? And have you just looked at that flight attendant in the eyes and smiled and said, thank you for being here today? Particularly if you're traveling over the holiday, because that person probably had to leave their family in order for you to go see your family. But do you realize the power that that has for you to just simply look and acknowledge them and thank them for being there? Or say, good morning, how are you? Or to give them, remember I challenged you to do this next time you're food, right? Give them that pack of unopened sealed gum. Right? Hey, I just wanted to share this. There you have it. Yeah, give this to you. You can share it with your crew. I'm telling you, it works wonders. You're gonna get the whole can of Coke. But unfortunately, sometimes and maybe often, the word Christian is loaded. But how much more so should the word love, faith, hope? That should be loaded to the nth degree. I don't know what that means. Where did that come from, the nth degree? I don't even know what that means. Don't get me wrong. Because we know that Christians are not perfect. I am not perfect. Far from it. But we're forgiven. And we have a hope in God who sent his Son to die for our sins and to take the punishment that I deserve. There's hope in that. We can be people whose love is grounded in our love for God. That security and assurance of God's love propels us to love others. It could compel us to love others. It could say to us, I can't help but loving others. Why? Because God first loved me when I was so unlovely. 1 John 4:19 is a verse that perhaps we could really take to heart this morning. We love because he first loved us. Do you ever stop and think of the awesome wonderment of the fact that when Jesus went to the cross to die, he did it while we were yet sinners? What love and what hope. We are special in God's eyes. Nobody is like you. Oh my goodness, Aram. It's so good to see you. Wow. I think this is the first time. Wow. God bless you. Look at Eric smiling away. I'm sorry. You guys know. Wow. Many of you know the story with Aram and how serious her condition was. And God has restored her and really brought her from death's door. And we have loved you from a distance and we have sent our prayers up on your behalf. Wow, this is the first time we're seeing her. Thank you for coming today. We love you and we continue to stand with you. God bless you. Wow, you're all so special in God's eyes. Nobody is like you. Nobody has the unique opportunity that God has given you and continues to bring to you every single day. Nobody has been put in contact with other people to form relationships for a specific purpose. You occupy such a unique circle of personal connections that are God-ordained, that God has orchestrated himself with a purpose for such a time as this. When the world seems upside down, when people are struggling to stay alive, when people are fearing for their lives, when there seems to be turmoil in every corner of the planet, for such a time as this, can we be a people of hope? The God of the Bible has always worked through people, imperfect as we are, average, ordinary people. It's not during the 1 hour or 1 hour and 15 minutes that we come together every Sunday. It's not on those high holy days when we sit in a pew and face forward and simply listen. Remember, we don't go to church. We are the church. And I'm so proud of how you have involved yourself in the life of this church, and this body of believers in Soul Union Church. We're just a people that choose to come together to follow Christ, to love God, and to love others. I'm so proud of how you've stepped. I was at a meeting a week and a half ago with all of the ministers of the English-speaking ministries throughout Seoul. And I hear this over and again. We just can't get enough people to serve. We just can't get enough people to help. We can't get people on the worship team. We can't. And I sat there and I thought, I'm so grateful for the people who make up Seoul Union Church, because most of you are serving. We're like so off the charts. I've talked to you before about the 90-10 principle or the 80-20 principle, where 10% of the people do 90% of the work, or 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Wow, look at what happens here at Soul Union Church. You're maturing in Christ. You're using the gifts that God has given you for a purpose, with a purpose, on purpose. I'm so proud and thankful for each of you. Schultz says this in his book, "The greatest act of our faith, love, shows up not beneath the glow of stained glass, but in the midst of fluttering fluorescence of our daily lives, when our shadows intersect with those around us. Magnetic faith works in the mundane, everyday interactions that we have with people that we know. That may seem ordinary to us, but to God it's nothing short of extraordinary. Our daily lives are reflections of God's love and His hope that He's put in us, and the hope that we have for tomorrow. Jesus is the world's all-time greatest and most influential expert on the topic of love, faith, and hope. Real, lasting, uplifting love. He wants us, you and me together, to share this love to the people that He puts in our path. We're the Jesus with skin on. We are His hands extended, His feet, His voice, His ears. Loving others is a skill that doesn't always come easily or naturally. We all could say amen to that. But it's always a risk worth taking. If Christians are called to love and have hope and God, and to love others, then let's do it the most effective way that we know how. Together, we can make Christians once again known as people for their practical, authentic, welcoming love, which is nothing short of God's greatest miracle. And a restored hope brought to people who are hurting, brought to people that are wounded, brought to people who feel beaten and abused and battered and taken advantage of. They need hope, and there's hope in Christ. A restored hope brings new life. How can we show the life of Christ in our everyday living? If we look at a story found in the Gospel of Luke, we can see that there are two disciples walking, and we can use different words, but they were downtrodden, they were depressed. They felt heavy because of what had just happened. As they walked, they were discussing the events concerning the death of Jesus Christ. As they continued their walk, a stranger who noticed how sad and down they were joined them along the path. He asked what had gotten them so down, what had gotten them so sad. What had affected and impacted them in such a way? And they told him how the high priest had delivered Jesus up to be crucified. Then they said to him, "But we were hoping that it was He who was going to deliver us or to redeem us." We were hoping that this would be the one who would lead Israel out of the captivity, out of the oppressive Roman rule. I don't know where that came from. See, I told you I'm not perfect. Why are you so down? Why are you so sad? And I said, we were hoping this would be the one. There's nothing so devastating as having lost hope. For these men, hope was gone. The one they had hoped to be the Redeemer of Israel had been crucified. They saw him put on the cross, nailed to it, and die. It wasn't just a story they were retelling. They saw it. Along with the death of Jesus came the death of hope. We've all lost hope in some sense and at some point in our lives. Maybe it would be trivial, and some might argue with the use of the word trivial, but maybe we lost hope in our favorite sports team that they would come back from that insurmountable lead that another team had over them. And Paul, I don't know what happened last night. I couldn't make it over to see Australia battle it out with South Africa, so I'm not sure how that ended up. But maybe we lost hope in that comeback. But maybe it was something more serious. Maybe there was a time when you were without a job, when you were without money, when you were without direction, when you were without someone to share your life with. Maybe it was a health issue when you thought there was no hope. There was nothing more that could be done. Maybe it was at the moment when you thought for sure your loved one would be gone. Maybe at a time when all hope seemed lost, you wanted to take the advice given to Job, curse God and die. But you didn't. You hung on. You held on to hope. Never let us give up, or in the words of Winston Churchill, never, never, never give up. Because for the Christian life, it is about hope. And we have hope that is renewed to each like the mercies who are made new every morning. And that is what I want us to focus on this morning. There is hope available for us. Titus 1, verses 1 and 2 says this, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Paul used this word hope three times in the short book of Titus. Twice here and in chapter 3 verse 7, he speaks in regards to the hope of eternal life. In chapter 2 verse 13, he uses the word hope in regards to the glorious second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope lets us realize it is necessary to the human spirit as oxygen is to the physical body. The word hope occurs over 52 times in the New Testament alone. And if you take the time to look up those passages, you will find that it is always connected in some way to God. Hope comes from God. He makes it available today. God is the author of hope. Romans 15, 13 again tells us, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Not have barely enough, not have just enough, not have almost enough, but to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our God is a God of hope. Romans 15 offers a prayer that we may abound in hope by the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 tells us that we can be recipients of good hope through grace. 1 Timothy reminds us that Christ is our hope. In Colossians, it states that Christ dwelling in us is our hope of glory. Over and over and over again, we see that our hope is connected. It's connected to God. It's connected to our relationship with Him through Christ. Hope is that which connects us with what is promised in our future as followers of Jesus. As a side note, though we have a future hope, it does not mean that we will not pass through the deserts. As you said that, Paul, I thought about the desert experiences of life, and they do come. It doesn't mean that even though we have this hope, that we don't pass through times of struggle or challenge or even conflict or tension, because we all will experience the desert. But the hope we have in Christ Jesus should make us realize that someday we will stand on that high holy mountain. We will reign with Christ, beautifully adorned as a bride is for her bridegroom. At that time, we will worship in the presence of an almighty, all-powerful, all-living Creator God, proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," along with the heavenly hosts. We will dwell forevermore in the temple of the Most High. We will fully realize our eternal hope of glory to rule and to reign with Christ. What if I did ask you this morning to define hope? What would your definition be? One of the definitions of hope stated, hope is desire with expectation of getting what is desired. One cannot hope for that which he or she neither desires or expects to receive. Sometimes our hope can be misplaced. There are those who hope to receive eternal life in heaven without even acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or their personal Savior. When I was young, there were many, many things that I hoped for. And I know a lot of you can relate to this. I hoped for horses. I hoped for fast cars. I hope for motorcycles and ski boats. And I would make sure my dad knew about every one of those hopes of mine. On numerous occasions, though, when I would express that hope, my dad, in as many of those times, would say, "Next year. Next year." Now, you may be thinking I pulled a Proverbs 13:12 on him. I know you all know what that verse is. You might be thinking I pulled a Proverbs 13, and most of our kids are gone, so moms and dads, don't worry, they're not going to use this as fodder against you. But Proverbs 13:12 says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." I didn't do that with my dad. What I can tell you is that God will bring to pass the hope that we have in him, the hope that he makes available to us. Life can be difficult and harsh. Yes, yes, we may pass through the valleys. Yes, we may experience the desert in our life. But there are times where we have to remind ourselves our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in God, the relationship that he makes available to us to this very day. There's always hope. Three reasons as we start to conclude our time this morning that I want to point out to you. Three reasons for the type of hope that Paul mentions in Titus 1 and verse 2. The first is the word of God gives us hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." The word of God gives us hope. The stories of old are there to encourage us, to inspire us, to keep the faith. This verse can be looked at in the context in both the Old and the New Testament. Problems and challenges that might come our way, that might seem to crush our very hope, are not unique to us alone. Most likely they have been faced before. There's nothing that we experience that is a surprise to God. Over and over, the Bible shows us that God ministered to those in need, and he continues to do the same with us. God, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, proved himself faithful to the saints of old. And if he really truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will prove himself faithful to us today as much as he will prove himself faithful to us tomorrow. God ministered to their needs, and he ministers to our needs. Are you lonely or depressed? Let's look at Elijah. A few weeks back, I shared with you a bit of the story of Elijah when he was ready to give up after God performed wondrous and miraculous events right through him. And Elijah ran off and he sat beneath the tree and he said, just kill me now. He was down. He may have lost hope. He was depressed. He thought that he didn't even have a friend left in the world. He thought he was the only one who still loved God. He was exhausted and depressed. But God proved yet again that he was with him. God was there and he provided care and rest for Elijah. Are you frightened? Is something just bringing you to shake down to your core? There's something here that just seems to be so out of control in my life right now. Let's look at David. He went up against a huge, nearly 10 feet tall, trained warrior. Here's this little young shepherd boy going up against Goliath and winning because of God being with him. God was with David, and the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Are you being treated unfairly? What about Joseph? He was treated unfairly. He was sold into slavery by his own family, by his brothers. Potiphar's wife tried to accuse him, seduce him, and then accuse him and lie about the whole situation. He was thrown into prison. He was forgotten. A promise was made and a promise was broken. And the list in Joseph's life could go on, yet he kept his hope alive. What about Benaniah? You know the story about Benaniah, don't you? He's one of your favorite guys in the Bible. I know he is. In 1 Chronicles 11:22, it tells us about one of David's mighty men. Here, Benaniah finds himself in a pit with a lion on a snowy day. And that is a great sermon title that we might use someday. In a pit with a lion on a snowy day. That's a bad day. I wouldn't want to face a lion on level ground, let alone in a pit on a snowy day. But that's Benaniah, and he went and he took care, he whooped up on the lion. The stories of David's mighty men are amazing. Are some of you in crisis? Is there something that's pressing in hard on you? What about Daniel, again, with the lion? Right? What did Daniel do? He prayed. His hope was in God. These stories and so many more are given to us to inspire us and to encourage us and to help us to keep the faith and keep our hope alive. Perhaps it's so that our hope will even be restored if we feel that it has been lost. The Word of God reminds us over and again that we can put our hope in God and He is faithful. He is with us, that He cares for us. God is not surprised by anything that we're facing. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." Do you feel alone? Or are you just lonely? God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. The second reason for hope is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross reminds us that while I was still in my sin, Christ loved me enough to take on my punishment. The punishment, the consequence that I deserved. John 15:13 says, "Greater love is no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." There's no greater love than the love Jesus Christ displayed toward us. Jesus, who left his throne in glory, humbled himself, came to earth, and paid the price for our sins with his own blood. We cannot even begin to understand that kind of sacrificial love. When I was thinking about that, I thought, oh yes, we can. If we're a parent, we can. Because there isn't a parent who doesn't love and care for their child more than their own life who wouldn't take the place of that child if it meant one had to be sacrificed. But what about someone who hates you? What about someone who despises you? What about someone who lies about you or believes lies about you? What about that person? Jesus even died for that person. He died for his enemies too. That is greater love. The kind of love that Jesus displayed can give us hope because that love demonstrates to us how much Jesus cares for us. So people that don't get the opportunity or take the opportunity or experience the fellowship of other believers in Jesus, or people that come and are encouraged and see the reality of hope every single week and in Bible studies and in ministry opportunities that are provided through the week and on Sundays, people don't see that. They just keep getting pounded by life in the desert. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not With him also freely give all things. He is the giver of our hope. God sent his Son into the world so that the world through him would be saved. Our hope is in God because he has demonstrated to us through the cross of Christ that he desires for us what is best. The cross also reminds us that God offers still forgiveness for you and for me. He still offers grace. He still offers mercy. He still offers that great love. When we place our trust in the finished work of Christ, we're forgiven. We're set free. Colossians 1, 21 and 22 says this, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." That's amazing. We could really just stop right there and go, just think about that. It's because of him. It's because of him. What hope there exists in the cross of Christ. What an assurance this is to each and every one of us. Jesus has brought us back into right relationship. He has reconciled us to the Father, presenting us as holy. We who are not holy, he presents us as holy. Blameless, but he presents us as blameless and above reproach. Our hope is not in what we have done. It's not in our works. Our hope is seen in the finished work of Jesus on that cross. Third, the empty tomb gives us hope. The resurrection of Christ assures me that I can overcome and I can be a new creature, and so can you. Many times we wallow in our sin. We think that we can never change. There's no hope for me. But that is not the truth. There's always hope. God can bring to life that which was dead. Romans 6, 3 through 6 says this, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." The resurrection of the living Christ gives us hope. The empty tomb verifies for us that there is hope for everlasting. There is hope in the resurrection. Hope to no longer be slaves to sin. Hope to no longer be dead in that sin. If we have received Christ, we are a new creature. As I shared a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The resurrection gives us hope that we no longer have to be held captive or a slave to that sin. Just as Christ rose from the dead, God has raised us from being spiritually dead. The empty tomb gives us an assurance of eternal life. It gives us hope for a better life in the presence, in the very presence of the living God. John 11, 25 through 26 says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." We have seen these three reasons for hope: God's word, the cross of Christ, and the empty tomb. No matter what you might be facing today, there is hope. Jesus said, "In the world you will find tribulation," John 16, 33. "But be of good cheer." Have hope. I have overcome the world. Have you acknowledged to God that you are a sinner? Have you placed your trust in Jesus as the Son of God? Believe on Jesus and you shall be saved. Are you living in the hope of God? Have you given up hope to him? Trust Jesus today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Put your hope in Christ. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you and acknowledge you as God. We acknowledge you as King. You are the Most High God. There is none other. You hold us in your loving hands and you extend your grace to us today. You fill us with hope from your word, from the cross, from the empty tomb. We accept the hope that can be found in you in relationship with Christ, your Son. Fill us this day by your Spirit for your glory, so that we would experience the fullness of your presence and the reality of life in Christ, in Jesus' name.